You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
My word is a lamp.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a family Bible teaching ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the name of Jesus. It's really a blessing to be here another Saturday evening to continue in the gospel writings of Matthew. We are in Matthew chapter 16. And last time we stopped at verse 17. And we are going to continue from there. And we are doing the gospel writings of Matthew. We have started from Matthew chapter 1, we are now at chapter 16, and we will be continuing to the end of Matthew, which is 28 chapters. So we are now in chapter 16, and last time we stopped at verse 17. So we see where Jesus was asking his disciples about who people were saying that he is, and also asking them who they say that he is. And Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And we see in verse 17, Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your love towards us. We thank you for your new mercies and your grace each day. We thank you, O God, for your peace that passes all understanding. O God, your peace that guards our hearts. We thank you, O God Almighty, that you are God with us, Emmanuel. You are our blessed hope, our peace, our rest, and we praise you forever. We look to you this evening, and we pray, O God, that you will continue to reveal your word to us. Bring forth, O God, revelation, knowledge to us as we go through your word this evening. We pray in the name of Jesus, mighty God, that we will understand your word and apply it unto wisdom. Oh God, that we will not walk and stumble on the journey, but your word will be that lamp to our feet and that light to our path. Father, we pray, oh God Almighty Lord, as illumination comes, oh God, we will not remain simple, but we will walk as those that are wise. Father God, we thank you again for what you're doing in this season. Oh God, we pray in the name of Jesus, we will understand that you are calling us closer to you. And as we draw near to you, your word said you will draw near to us. So I pray, O God Almighty, that we will walk in union with you and we will see your hands at work continuously in our lives. We thank you for those that take the time out to listen, and we pray that lives will be transformed as your word goes forth. O God, for your word, O God, is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. We pray that it will pierce the hearts of your people, bringing forth change. We thank you, O God, even those that are not yet saved that will come to know you, O God, for fear it comes by hearing, hearing by your word. We thank you, we bless you, and give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. So we continue in the gospel writings of Matthew chapter 16 and verse 17. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." So we see Jesus called Peter blessed. And this blessed means favored or happy. And because of the spiritual revelation of who he is, people of God. So we see when revelation comes to us, when the revelation of who Christ is come to us, divine favor comes on us. So when we get the revelation of who Christ is, divine favor has come upon us. So Jesus called Peter blessed, favored, happy because of the spiritual revelation of who he is. And people of God, only the Holy Spirit can truly reveal Jesus to us. So let us walk in union with the Holy Spirit, and we will get the revelation, knowledge of who Christ is, and it will bring transformation to our lives. So let us turn to verse 18 of Matthew 16. Verse 18 of Matthew 16. New King James Version, the word said, "And I also say to you that you are Peter." Jesus continues to speak to Peter. "I also say to you that you are Peter, And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, or the gates of hell, shall not prevail against it. The gates of Hades are hell. Some translation will say hell. But the New King James Version, the gates of Hades, or the same word, hell, means hell, shall not prevail against the church of God. What is Jesus saying here? So we see people of God, Jesus called Peter on this rock. Peter, which means Petros. The Petros here is this masculine form in Greek, which means a stone. So Jesus called Peter a stone. But Jesus, when he speaks that he will build a church on this rock, that rock is Petra, which is the living rock, Jesus himself. I'm going to build my church on the solid rock, on Jesus Christ, the revelation of who he is. So people of God, we have to understand the church is not built on Peter. Peter was just a little stone, a little breakage off the rock. Peter was not the rock. Jesus Christ himself is the solid rock. So Peter, the church of God is not built on Peter. It's built on Jesus Christ, who is the solid rock. And people of God, the word of God tells us, Jesus said, if you hear my these sayings of mine and do them, if you practice what I say, I liken you to a wise man who built his house on a rock. This rock is Jesus. He was speaking of himself. If you hear my sayings and build yourself up in your faith in me, that's what he was saying, then when the troubles of this life come and all the storms of life blow on you, you will still be standing because your faith is built on me. So Jesus Christ himself is the solid rock. So Jesus said, on this rock, on me, not Peter. So we have to understand, people of God, this Greek word. Peter there means Petros, which means a stone. Peter was no rock. Jesus Christ himself is a solid rock. That firm or unmovable support, that's who Jesus is. He is our refuge. He is our defense. That's who the church is built on. The confession of who Jesus Christ is. We have to understand this. Who he is. Who is Jesus to you? Who Jesus is so important, people of God. And the sacrifice that he has made for us on the cross. Do we understand the sacrifice that he made for us? Do we understand who he is? Christ Jesus, the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, who came to earth as a man and died a criminal's death for no crime that he has done. He is the one on whom the church is built. His bride, his body, it's built on him. He is the head. And the church is his body. People of God, the church is built on Jesus Christ and the gates of hell. The word of God tells us the council of hell cannot be victorious over the church of God. It's a truth that the church must know. The gates of Hades or of hell cannot prevail, cannot be victorious over the church of God. We must hold on to this truth. And we must understand that whatever we go through, we must come to the understanding that the church will stand. The church is unmovable because we are built on the solid rock, who is Christ Jesus, our firm and unmovable support. He is our security. Where else can we find security but in Christ Jesus? So we have to understand, people of God. And many times we will hear teachings that is on Peter. No, Peter is not solid. Peter is a mere man. But Jesus Christ, the perfect God-man, is the solid rock. He is the Petra. He is the solid rock, the living rock, which is unmovable, firm, unmovable, our only support. He is our refuge. He said in his word, he is our refuge and strength. The solid rock is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So we have him to run to, Church of God. We need not be afraid or alarmed. We are going to have trouble on every side. We are going to be cast down at times, but not destroyed, because we bear in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once we have put our trust in him, people of God, we know that we are standing on the solid rock. Nothing will move us. We will be shaken up at times, people of God, but nothing can move us. Look at verse 19 of Matthew 16. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So Jesus has given the church the authority of the kingdom of heaven. We are given the authority to walk as kingdom citizens. We are given the authority, people of God, to bind and loose. We need to bind some things that have been disturbing us and keeping us back, and loose some things that need to be loose so we can walk in the freedom that Christ has given us. The church has the authority to bind and loose things on earth, and the same will be done in heaven. So Jesus said, whatever you bind here on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So when we walk in the authority of Jesus Christ, we are connected to heaven. So heaven is in union with what we do here on earth. But we must be connected to Jesus Christ. We must walk in his authority. We must walk in his power. We must walk in his character, bearing his qualities, bearing his ways, walking like Jesus, emulating him in every aspect of our walk. People of God, we are called to walk as children of light. We are called to walk in the Spirit, walk as those that have been redeemed, not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. People of God, if we are not walking in the Spirit, if we are not walking in union with Jesus, we have no authority. But we have to be walking in the authority that he has given us, walking in connection, stay connected to him, the true vine. And then we are going to have the authority to loose and bind here on earth. Whatever you bind here on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. So we have the authority, people of God. And every one of us who have placed our trust in Jesus Christ, we are the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, the church of the living God, who has been given that kingdom authority. But people of God, we have to stay connected to Jesus Christ and walk in his ways, walk in his character, show forth his glory and his praise. And we will see great and mighty things happen as we continue to walk in his will. Look at verse 20 of Matthew 16. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. So we see, people of God, he said, don't go and broadcast it that I'm the Christ. And sometimes, people of God, Jesus tells us there are some things that happens in such an intimate time with Jesus. He didn't tell us to tell anyone. So we have to understand this was an intimate moment with his disciples, and he was revealed to them. The Holy Spirit revealed to Peter that this is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Even though there were so many popular sayings about who he was. Some say he was John the Baptist, some said Elijah, some say Jeremiah. But who his people say he is or what is so important. So who do we say he is today? And he said to them in verse 20, he commanded them, don't go and broadcast it that I am the Christ. Don't go. And it shows that every individual needs their personal revelation of Jesus Christ. All of us need our own personal revelation of Jesus Christ. So we have to come to that place where we ask Jesus to come into our lives, to come into our lives individually and be our Lord and Savior. So we have to know him for ourselves so that we can be witnesses for him. So if we are going by secondhand information, we cannot be a witness, people of God. We have to encounter him for ourselves. We have to get our own revelation of who he is. And then we will be able to speak of him with confidence that somebody else will know that this is not secondhand. This is coming from a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. This is coming from an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And Jesus is calling us, people of God, to come to that place of knowing him for ourselves so that we can go with revelation knowledge to declare his glory and his praise. Look at verse 21 of Matthew 16. The word said, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. So Jesus started to disclose to his close followers, the disciples, that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. So we see, people of God, Jesus told of his crucifixion and of his resurrection. So his disciples were told over and over about what would happen to him, but they failed to understand. They did not get the revelation. Many did not understand, even though he was telling them. And people of God, sometimes the word is coming to us over and over and over again, but many still do not understand. Many still do not get it yet. And the word of God will show us, as John wrote in John 20, in John 20, verse 8 and 9, we are going to see where John tells us quite clearly that even though they were with the Messiah, some things that were said, people of God, they did not understand. So we have to come to know and understand that we sometimes hear the word but do not understand. Look at John 20, 8 and 9. John chapter 20, verses 8 and 9 said, then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also and saw and believed. So when John and Peter came to the tomb, when they heard that Jesus was risen, they came to the tomb and they saw and believed. For as yet, look at what the word said, as yet in verse 9, they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So we see how many times Jesus spoke to them that he would be raised from the dead. He would die and raise again from the dead. But John himself here admitted that they did not yet know the scriptures. And so many times we're hearing scriptures after scripture coming, but we are not understanding the scriptures. So we pray for understanding, people of God. We pray for revelation, knowledge among God's people, that we will not just be going to church. We will not just say we are followers of Jesus Christ, but we will understand the scriptures. We will ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate the scripture to us. We will get revelation, knowledge, and that comes only from the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 22 of Matthew 16. The word said, then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. After all these people of God, look at what happened. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. So Peter started to rebuke him after Jesus was saying to them that he was going to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and be put to death and be raised the third day. Peter said, no, Jesus, far, this may be far from you. Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. Look at verse 23, how Jesus answered. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. People of God, look at what Jesus said. Get behind me, Satan. This was the same Peter, people of God, that was there proclaiming that Jesus Christ is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, people of God, we see here where he was saying, no, you can't go to the cross. No, you can't die. And no, this can't happen to you, Lord. Jesus turned and said, "Get behind me, Satan." Jesus rebuked Peter. Jesus rebuked Peter. There was a satanic influence behind all that he said to Jesus. There was a satanic influence right there. And Jesus was able to discern that this was a satanic influence influencing Peter to speak like that. So Jesus was offended by Peter not wanting him to go to the cross. This was Jesus' mission here on earth. To die for lost humanity. So he has to go to the cross. So what was Peter? Peter was saying something that he did not know or understand. He was being influenced by the evil one. So people of God, we have to be very careful that we don't become influenced. We might be followers of Jesus, but can be influenced by the evil one, where we speak things that are contrary to the will of God. So we have to understand the will of God had to be fulfilled in Jesus' life. So we see the word of God tells us that Peter said, "No, Jesus, you can't do this." But that's what he came to earth for. Let us turn to Hebrews 10, 5 to 10. Hebrews 10, verse 5 to 10. The word of God tells us, "Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offering and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure.' Then I said, 'Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God.'" So it's written of Christ Jesus to do the will of God. How could he not go to the cross? He had to go to the cross, people of God. So we see it is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offering and sacrifice for sin, you did not desire, for nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will, O God.' He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. He takes away, people of God, the old covenant, that he may establish the second. The new covenant, which is in his blood, people of God, is now established. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." So people of God, God's will had to be done. Jesus had to go to the cross. So what was Peter saying? He was saying something that he did not understand, and he was being influenced by the devil himself. So we see, people of God, Peter was still operating according to his fleshly mind. He was not mindful of the things of God. Jesus said, "You are not mindful of the things of God," even though he was following Jesus. So this, people of God, we have to stop and look into it. He was a follower of Jesus, but he was not mindful of the things of God. He was saying, "Jesus, you can't go to the cross." What he was saying, "You cannot perform the will of the Father." Jesus came in the volume of the book to perform the will of the Father. He had to go to the cross. So when we look in Romans 8, verse 7, the word said, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be." The carnal mind is in opposition to God. And Peter was acting carnally then. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's in opposition to God. It's not subject. It's not submitted to the law of God. The carnal mind is not submitted to Christ. We have to understand this, people of God. So we have to know and understand that we cannot walk in the flesh. We cannot walk according to our carnal mind. We cannot live this old fleshly life anymore. Our lives have to be transformed. We have to walk in the Spirit so we do not fulfill the desires of our flesh. Our fleshly nature does not want anything good. It does not want to please God. But God is calling us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Our minds must be renewed with the word of God so we can know what is good, acceptable, and his perfect will for us. We want to do the will of God, people of God, but we must know and understand that our minds have to be renewed, or else we will be people who are not mindful of the things of God. So we must be careful that our minds have to be renewed. We must come to that place where we say, Lord, renew my mind with your word so that I can know what is good and acceptable and your perfect will. Look at verse 24 of Matthew 16. Then Jesus said to his disciple, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If any man desires to come after me, people of God, if we decide to follow Jesus wholeheartedly, let us deny ourselves, disown our old nature, our old fleshly mind, our old fleshly ways. Let us deny ourselves, take up his cross, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. So when we look and taking up our cross, people of God, we have to understand the cross is a symbol of execution. So we must die daily to this old fleshly nature. This old man, the word calls our old fleshly nature, the old man. Die to the old way of living. The cross is a symbol of execution. That's what we must understand. So we must die to self and live for God. But we can't do this on our own, the word of God tells us. But if we, through the Spirit, do mortify, do kill the deeds of the flesh, we shall live. And people of God, our desire is to live the higher life, to live a life consecrated unto Jesus Christ. But we cannot do it if we are operating in our fleshly mind. But we have to come to understand that we have to be surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, surrendered to the Holy Spirit ruling our lives, so we can daily follow Jesus, emulate him, live like him, walk like him, talk like him, operate like him in every aspect of our lives, and we will bring glory and honor to his name. Remember, people of God, following Jesus is not about popularity. Following Jesus is not about popularity and prestige, but it's about self-denial. If we don't get anything else from this message, remember, following Jesus is not about popularity and prestige, but self-denial. Are we willing to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus? I pray today that each and every one of us, as we hear this message, we will make up in our minds to deny ourselves, disown our old ways of living, and take up our cross. Execute this old self, this old man, this old way of living through the power of the Spirit, and follow Jesus wholeheartedly. He's calling us to follow him wholeheartedly, to walk in the Spirit and not to fulfill the desires of our flesh, to be mature sons and daughters of the King who will be led by his Spirit. So we give God thanks for his word to us this evening, and we thank him for what he's doing in this season. And we pray that we will come to that place of understanding that we must be mindful of the things of God, and let us ask the Holy Spirit to change our hearts and make us more like Jesus. God bless you as you continue to follow Jesus and grow in grace and knowledge of him. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for your word to us. We thank you for your people who took the time out to listen. And we pray in the name of Jesus, oh God, that this word will transform our hearts, and we, oh God, will become more and more like Jesus. Our desire is to please you, Jesus. And as we continue on this walk, we pray that we will look to you and rely upon you and come closer and closer in a relationship with you. We thank you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray and we say amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful rest of the weekend and continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessings to all. Amen and amen.